Hey, everybody, the great Daniel Horowitz comes on. He says the big G word, genocide. He talks about medical fascism as well. I want to hear your thoughts about this episode. I love to hear them. Freedom@charliekirk.com. If you want to get involved with Turning Point USA, go to tpusa.com. Start a college group today at tpusa.com. If you want to support our show, go to charliekirk.com/support. That's charliekirk.com/support to get behind the work we are doing. Go there right now, charliekirk.com/support. Buckle up, everybody. Here we go.
Charlie, what you've done is incredible here.
Maybe Charlie Kirk is on the college campus.
I want you to know we are lucky to have Charlie Kirk.
Charlie Kirk's running the White House, folks.
I want to thank Charlie. He's an incredible guy. His spirit, his love of this country. He's done an amazing job building one of the most powerful youth organizations ever created, Turning Point USA.
We will not embrace the ideas that have destroyed countries, destroyed lives, and we are going to fight for freedom on campuses across the country. That's why we are here.
Brought to you by the Loan Experts I Trust, Andrew and Todd at Sierra Pacific Mortgage at andrewandtodd.com. With us today is someone who has been right early and often, someone who has been unafraid, courageous, and clear to actually comment on the medical tyranny of which we lived under, someone who has been doing the research from Uttar Pradesh in India to ivermectin and many other issues that we are not supposed to talk about. With us is Daniel Horowitz. He writes columns for TheBlaze.com and also has a podcast that I want you guys to check out. Daniel, welcome back to The Charlie Kirk Show.
Great to be with you, Charlie, in these troubling times.
Well, Daniel, you are one of the kind of beacons of light, if I may say, when all of this seems to be falling apart. Daniel, I want to get your thoughts on one thing initially before we dive into some of your recent columns and wherever our conversation takes us. Do you notice, like I do, in the last couple weeks, that as soon as we started to gain momentum in the mainstream on the COVID issue, it seems as if all of a sudden on all the main news networks, COVID isn't as big of a deal. Have you noticed this?
I have, and it disturbs me. On the one hand, we all want this over with. We want the virus over with. We want the COVID fascism over with. On the other hand, we cannot allow them to slip away in the dark of night, go on to the next thing like a drive-by shooting, and leave us without justice. And this, when I say justice, I don't just mean revenge. I mean, if COVID were to go away tomorrow, all of the problems that have been put in place, the foundation and really the edifice that has already been built of the biomedical fascist state, that is in place. The premise that if we say this is for the good of public health, regardless of the due process, regardless of whether we show evidentiary standards, regardless of whether it's lawful, humane, logical, we own your breathing, Charlie, your mouth, your nose, your body. That premise remains in place. The premise that the FDA, rather than the regulator of Big Pharma, are the marketers and enforcers of Big Pharma, taking away the basic tenets of the Nuremberg Code, informed consent, that is with us, if that's not reversed. Who created the virus? Who released it? Who foisted it upon us? What other things did they have in the pipeline? What other products do they plan on foisting upon us? The denial of treatment, the criminalizing of doctors that actually treat with things that are proven safe while forcing doctors to use things that treat us like lab rats, that is still in place. The culture of cruelty in the hospitals that we're seeing. This is a big, big story. This is something we cannot recover from. America's medical system needs to be burnt to the ground and built up from scratch. This is not something that we can just walk away from. So as much as all of us wanted to get on with our lives and be done with this, and I'm certainly no exception, there's a lot of work to be done, and I think we cannot allow them to slip away. We always knew they would milk it until the last moment and then try to find an exit strategy. I think we're rapidly reaching that point, especially, you know, with the onset of the spring and the momentum behind the trucker convoy and really all the protests throughout Europe. I think it's reaching a breaking point, but we have to make sure both Republicans and Democrats are not allowed to just get away with everything they did the last 2 years that is going to continue to remain with us for years to come unless we uproot it and plow the ground with salt on top of it.
Yeah, I mean, it's not just the 850,000 people dead that very well might have been prevented if we allowed a steady dose of ivermectin, hydroxychloroquine, antiviral drugs, or your article, Daniel, that I think I have promoted, what, Connor, 50 to 100 times on air, which was the most rational article on the vitamin D levels. I mean, that's the most simple article. What's your vitamin D level? Know it like you know your credit score and try to get it above 50, and your chances of dying from COVID go to almost nothing. And you wrote so eloquently in that article, I think the title was How a Steady Routine of Vitamin D Boosting Very Well Could Have Helped Us in the Fight Against COVID. We covered it extensively and no one wants to talk about it. But I just want to reinforce this one other time. I want to get your thoughts on this, Daniel. Why are they now pulling the escape hatch? Why are they now flooding the escape pods? Is it because we have started to win the narrative? It's because Joe Rogan has 60 million downloads on one conversation with a doctor that otherwise would have probably gotten 5 million downloads? Is it now that all of a sudden we have more people that are now triple vaccinated and masking all the time that are getting infected? Why is it that they are all of a sudden they don't want us to talk about COVID anymore?
It's really all of the above. They've run out of rope. You could run and hide, but not for much longer. And it's really a shame that it took two full years to do this. But we have reached a critical turning point because there's nowhere for them to run. What are you going to do next? Right now, the problem is we are at the cusp of a very dangerous negative efficacy. And, you know, I've written a lot about this, and I don't claim to be someone who knew a lot about this beforehand. But when you have something affecting us, we have a responsibility to study it ourselves. And people like Dr. Gert Vandenbosch warned about this. He said, look, most things in life, a half a loaf is better than a full loaf. I'll take something. In theory, I think we're all for something that might not stop transmission and infection of a virus, but would really ameliorate the worst symptoms lower your chances of death and hospitalization. That's certainly a worthy goal, and that's why we support things like vitamin D and ivermectin, hydroxychloroquine, steroids taken at the right time, and many, many, many other proven off-label safe therapeutics that are used every day in America. But the problem is when it comes to microbiology and virology with vaccines, it doesn't work that way. A half a loaf is a poisonous loaf. Because when you challenge a virus directly with antibodies that are narrow spectrum, meaning they only recognize the spike protein, not the whole nucleocapsid, they're suboptimal and they wane, as they say by their own admission, you got to get a booster. That creates a dynamic of negative efficacy. It creates it in several ways. It creates broader enhancement. It's kind of like shooting at the king and missing. Everyone understands this with antibiotics, that if you come with half-ass antibiotics, it will become more virulent around it. It's the same thing with a virus. If you come with very narrow non-sterilizing, so it doesn't stop the spread in your mucosa, it actually lowers your T cells that will go to your respiratory tract to fight the virus. So you run up the score of the viral load. And then over time, even the blood-based antibodies for the systemic protection wane. That creates ADE, antibody-dependent disease enhancement. It's something Fauci talked about. This is well known in the vaccine industry. Page 52 of the FDA memorandum on the Pfizer approval, this was from about, I want to say, December 2020. They say blatantly, we don't see ADE yet, but in the long term, it's a concern if the vaccine, if the antibodies wane. Well, here we are, and they wane in spades. So much so that they say you have to get your second booster now. Why is ADE, negative efficacy, not a concern where the vaccine itself becomes a Trojan horse? As you saw today, I just put out an article on the UK's latest data. Now, the UK, we always wait for it every Thursday for a year. They've been producing granular, continuous data nationwide of case rates by vaccination status. And already for a long time, just so you know, Charlie, before Omicron, even before, you know, when it was Delta, it was going negative in all adult age groups. Then they gave the boosters and it staunched the negative and got a little bit into positive territory mm-hmm. for a very short period of time, much less than the previous iteration. Now it's negative again in every age group. they stopped reporting the double vaxxed. You know why? Because the rates are so appalling that they can no longer show it to the public. Because guess what happens with that? Whatever happens to the double vaxxed will happen to the triple and the quadruple. Yep. In other words, the point is, when you look at the vaccine efficacy, this is very important. They would like to focus you on a snapshot of time. Snapshot of time. For some people, for some period of time, it gives some degree mm-hmm. of systemic protection. So, okay, Charlie? That ignores all the injuries. That ignores the fact that you have alternatives that would protect you that don't cause those problems. And it ignores the fact that on the efficacy side becomes a safety problem as well, because it wanes first the mm-hmm. first couple weeks. Basically, we call it the half-assed zone.
I want to take a moment and thank Patriot Mobile, my new cell phone provider, for their support. Whether it's on this show, other conservative hosts, Turning Point USA, or others, they get it. Look, here's how Patriot Mobile works. Instead of you using some cell company that runs all these woke TV advertisements that make you cringe during a football game, Patriot Mobile has the same towers, but you are working with a company where any profits they make get given back to pro-life groups, Turning Point USA. You are partnering with Patriots. I know Glenn. He runs Patriot Mobile. Does a great job. They offer broad nationwide coverage. In fact, they use the same towers as the major carriers. They get great nationwide coverage, plus the peace of mind that your money isn't supporting the left. Stop giving money to people who hate you. So look, when you pay your cell phone bill, if you are paying one of the big guys, you might as well, on your credit card statement, it might as well say BLM. You are a donor to BLM if you give money to the major cell phone companies. Patriot Mobile has plans to fit any budget, and their 100% U.S.-based customer support team provides exceptional customer support. More importantly, Patriot Mobile shares your values and supports organizations fighting for religious freedom, constitutional rights, sanctity of life, and our veteran and first responder heroes. So go right now to patriotmobile.com/Charlie or call 972-PATRIOT. Get a free activation with the offer code CHARLIE. Veterans and first responders save even more, so make the switch today. Support a company that loves America, loves you, and shares your values. It's patriotmobile.com/Charlie, patriotmobile.com/Charlie, or call 972-PATRIOT. Look, Patriot Mobile is what you need right now. Stop paying money via your cell phone companies to the left-wing arsonists destroying our country. If you wouldn't give money to Planned Parenthood, if you wouldn't give money to the transgender lobby, if you wouldn't give money to the Alphabet Mafia, if you wouldn't give money to BLM, then why would you do it via your cell phone company? You might say, well, Charlie, I don't know a competitor. Well, now you know one. It's called Patriot Mobile. It's super simple. PatriotMobile.com/Charlie. I have done this. Our entire team is moving towards Patriot Mobile. Producer Andrew is signaling his phone right now. He's on Patriot Mobile, and now he knows that his cell phone bill every single month supports the good guys, not the wokies. PatriotMobile.com/Charlie. Let me ask you, you mentioned Nuremberg and holding these people accountable. Talk a little bit about that.
Sure. I mean, you take stock of this in broad terms. What did they do to us? They locked us into a building, set it on fire, and blocked all entry, and then introduced more gas and lighter fluid into it. That's a metaphor, but that's literally what happened. As you noted, 880,000 or so died from COVID. Let's say it's a little bit of an inflation because some are incidental deaths, but it's a heck of a lot of people. You know, 700,000, 800,000, whatever it's going to be. And it's still going on. That didn't come naturally. That came from somewhere. We need to know where that came from. They blocked treatment from day one. From day one to this day. And again, it's not any one thing. There's about 100 different things that potentially work. We spent $1 billion on remdesivir, something that causes pancreatic necrosis, kidney failure, and liver toxicity. It's the standard of care. They spent $1 billion of that. Imagine if a fraction of that money would have been spent on just looking at the proper dosage and mix of cocktails of all the known, you know, autoimmune drugs out there, like for arthritis and gout. And, you know, obviously the famous things people know, the right type of steroid at the right time with the right dose. There's so many things. I just want your audience to understand there's ozone therapy, there's vitamin C infusions, there's active form D infusions,
NAD.
There's hyperbaric oxygen chambers that could, that are much better than the forced oxygen through the lungs. There's a lot of different things that at various stages can be used, even if you didn't, you know, treat it early, which obviously that should have been the catch-all for everything. That is genocide. I'm sorry. That is genocide. To continue pushing things that are harmful, don't work, you know, and then the shots themselves. Okay. I was speaking before the break that the shots caused the virus to get worse, right? Everyone knows this, that there were more deaths in almost every Western country post-vaccine than before. That is an astounding point. That makes no sense. None of us ever expected that. That literally makes no sense. But if you understand microbiology, when you have a suboptimal, leaky, narrow spectrum antibodies that wane, that's what it does. The virus eats it up, uses it as a Trojan horse. So that's because of the vaccines. And then you have the direct injuries, which some estimate in the United States would be several hundred thousand people. Theirs, you know, has it around 22,000-23,000, but we know it's underreported usually by a factor of anywhere from 20 to 40. And, you know, we're going to find out with the excess death, all-cause mortality data in the coming months. And I think that's going to shed light on it. There's, you know, so that's several hundred thousand people. But you know, Charlie, I haven't even gotten to the long-term effects, the neurological concerns, the autoimmune diseases, the original antigenic sin that now Israeli immunologists and European Medicines Agency immunologists admit that certainly if you would give boosters and multiple shots of this, you teach the immune system to respond improperly with the broad-based blood antibody response rather than the T-cell specific response. So with future respiratory viruses, you're going to get, you know, almost as if you have HIV. It doesn't kill your T-cells, but they just won't show up. So you'll be immunocompromised. The concern about cancers. You know, this was not studied to see if it's carcinogenic. None of this, none of the therapeutics. I mean, we need a Nuremberg trial. And this makes no sense. This literally makes no sense. Remdesivir. I don't know if your audience is aware of this. You could Google Remdesivir Clinical Trial Ebola, New England Journal of Medicine. This is published in December 2019, just a couple months before Fauci prepared the EUA for Remdesivir to be the standard of care and the only standard of care at 3,000 a pop in the hospitals. It was pulled from an Ebola trial, right? It says in the document, because it had a kill rate of 53%, which is higher than the background mortality rate of Ebola, which is pretty high. Now, let me tell you something. To be pulled from a clinical trial for something as dangerous as Ebola, it's got to be really bad. And it was causing that kidney failure.
But it's very expensive, Daniel. It's very expensive.
Well, that's why. Well, I said despite the 3,000 costs, but it's really because of it. Now we know they spent $1 billion on this alone.
How many years have I been telling you about Relief Factor? Producer Andrew's right here doing an Iron Man thanks to Relief Factor. And truth is, I know there are millions of people. In fact, some say over 100 million people struggling with some kind of pain, maybe from exercise or just getting older. That can do it, getting older, which is why I'm so impressed with the people at ReliefFactor.com. They are on a mission. You rarely see this kind of focus and commitment. They recently shared with me that they are doubling down and want to literally double their total number of happy customers in the next year. And I believe they'll do it. So here's the deal. If you're struggling with back pain, neck pain, shoulder, hip, or knee pain, even general muscle aches and pain, then I'm suggesting you order their three-week quick start, still discounted only $19.95. Go to ReliefFactor.com. That's ReliefFactor.com. Check it out right now, ReliefFactor.com. You should order the three-week quick start too. Discount only $19.95. See if it will work for you. I think it possibly could. Give your body what it needs to heal itself. Go to ReliefFactor.com. That's ReliefFactor.com. Check it out right now. Daniel, before we go any further, I don't do this with a lot of guests. You're special. I mean that. You've really made a contribution to the cause of liberty, and that's very rare. It really is, and you have my great respect. There's some things that just people don't want to talk about, and you dive into them. Okay, let's talk about Israel. I love Israel. Been there multiple times. You love Israel. It's a wonderful place. You're Jewish. I'm Christian. We both have a respect for Israel. But what the heck has happened in Israel, my friend, over the last couple of years? A state, a country that is wealthy, that has some unbelievable medical advancements, some of the most remarkable groups of scientists. How did they get this so wrong?
Idolatry. I mean, it's true really of every country, every Western country, America no different, but Israel was Pfizer's playground. That was their testing lab. The Pfizer staff, the vice president said that as Israel goes, so goes the rest of the world. Charlie, this demonstrates just how dangerous biomedical fascism is. I'm going to go through an exercise with you. How many Republican friends of yours do you know are pro-abortion?
Almost none.
Almost none. How many are for higher taxes?
Almost none.
How many are for gun control?
I can't even think of one.
Republican voters, exactly. How many registered Republicans at varying points of the last 2 years do you know bought into some form of COVID fascism?
How many Republican voters? Plenty.
Half. I mean, maybe. Yes. I mean, I have it in my life, too. There's something very important and profound in that. Mm-hmm. They understood that if you use fear, the fear of communicable diseases, you can get anything you want. Anything, everything that they kind of like yelped about with global warming, but no one really believed it. Even the people that told a pollster they're concerned about it, but they're not really worried about it. They were able to accomplish with this. This is the issue. This is the issue that you can get anyone to gouge out his neighbor's eyes over it. My wife was recently walking in a store. And she has our one-year-old daughter, and she's kind of like, you know, smiling at everyone and sitting in the cart. In another universe, everyone would have come over, smile at her. A guy like three times their size comes right in her face and starts verbally abusing her for not wearing a diaper, you know, even though he's wearing a diaper and he's obviously not too scared because he's coming right up to her. It has deracinated all social norms. It has destroyed all legal norms, all standards of morality. Mm-hmm. And that's the thing. It's complete uninhibition. Whatever they want, they can get. So, you know, Israel is kind of a closed society. It's a small country. The government media complex control, I would say, even more than they do here, which is hard to imagine, but it's a bigger country. We do have, you know, shows like yourself and my show. We do, you know, I don't think you have that as much there. And they got people to go along with it. They got them to fear it. And once they feared it, it was nonstop. You know, you need the mask. This first it was with the lockdowns. They did several lockdowns and they worked so well that they didn't work. Then they worked again. And then the mask worked and didn't work at the same time. And then the shots worked and didn't work at the same time. So they needed more. And then another round of them. It's heartbreaking. It really is, because the lead ship in the armada of Nazi nationalism was public health nationalism. A lot of people forget that. And that's why the experimentations were a big part of it. That was a big part of the Nuremberg Code. There's a reason why we have it. It's truly heartbreaking that the Israeli government would become that corrupt, but they sold their soul to Pfizer. Who knows what's in the contract there, but you know, Pfizer basically owns them. And I think Israel was always the canary in the coal mine when it comes to terrorism and Islamic fascism. Well, I think they're canary in the coal mine when it comes to biomedical fascism. By the way, it's also interesting you noted that they're very advanced. It's funny how they've had a lot of good literature come out of their institutions, but the government doesn't follow policies that reflect that. Same thing with the one of the drugs that my doctors that I've had on my podcast, they've gone in great detail, you know, saving lives. They've helped my audience get prepared. One of the things that works very well for people starting to get pulmonary symptoms is fenofibrate, a common anti-lipid. It helps clear out the alveoli in the lungs, and it's really shown to work. You know, that was originally showed in Israel. Israeli doctors, even late stage, it was turning people around, and yet they would never pursue it. This is the funny thing. If you take back the last 2 years, and Israel's a big part of this, you'll find that there – despite the censorship, especially early on before the vaccines were around, there were numerous open sources about, you know, originally with ivermectin and nitazoxanide, fenofibrate, certain statins, methylprednisolone. There's a lot of different things. And you would think, oh my gosh, we're like pulling our hair out. We don't know what to do. Nothing works. People are dying. And you have pretty auspicious signs here, positive signs. You would think we'd dive head into it and immediately do an expedited clinical trial. Nothing. It's not just that you know, they're not approving it, but there's no desire to even explore this stuff. So what's funny is Israel had a lot of this stuff, but it's not available to the people. They never made it available. They never even made the monoclonal antibodies available there. So it's truly heartbreaking. I do think it's biblical what's going on. I don't think you could explain what's going on without a spiritual dimension, where people are just acting inhumane to each other, where I could look you in the eyes and say you deserve to die and you're killing people for not getting the thing that I have. And it works so much that I need to force you to get it, but it doesn't work to protect me unless you also get it at the same time. You know, this stuff is, it boggles the mind, and how it could go on this long and they could use the failure of the first tranche of fascism to then parachute in and blame everyone else with a blood libel and say, hey, you're not doing this enough. Now you have to do this. This cycle is just out of hand. So I'd say Israel is the first country, but the psychosis is really in every Western country. This is a global problem. Mm-hmm. It was perpetrated globally. And underscores why we need to vaccinate ourselves, immunize ourselves from this ever happening again. We can't just walk away from this, even if they walk away from it. We need a bunch of laws and constitutional amendments in every red state to prevent this from ever, ever happening.
And Daniel, you covered in great detail Uttar Pradesh, a province of India with 270 million people about. Is that about right? 270 million people?
Yep.
Which is far poorer than Israel. Per capita. I mean, it's not even close. Israel is one of the wealthiest countries on the planet, and their response was one where that actually looked after their people and their citizens. So, Daniel, we have 5 minutes remaining in this segment. You used the G word early on. You're Jewish. To say genocide is a big deal. Can you elaborate on that? Some people would disagree.
Sure. Well, I mean, how many millions of people died from COVID? COVID is not natural. Everyone knows that. It is not. It came from somewhere. That is a genocide. Denial of treatment. Here's the thing. The juxtaposition of the standard for which they use to not just approve, but market, not just market, but coerce upon us the vaccines and therapeutics that they're using versus the standard they're using not just to block, but to almost criminalize doctors off of using things that have 4-decade-long safety profiles, won the Nobel Prize, listed as WHO essential medicine. At worst, it's just a placebo. Okay, let's say it doesn't work. It certainly couldn't do any harm. They will literally use remdesivir, which was pulled from a clinical trial for Ebola because of kidney failure. They'll use it on people that have kidney disease, and it doesn't work. It doesn't work. WHO recommended against it because they did a large randomized controlled trial. It doesn't work. Their stuff doesn't work. And they block it. You know, when I talk about genocide, let me say this. There's a man named Ralph Larigo. He did all the ivermectin right to try legal cases in the hospital. And he was up against people in the Rochester health systems in court where they were blocking ivermectin. The judge ruled in Ralph's favor. They got ivermectin into the person. And the guy is home today with his kids this day, even though he was already on a ventilator. Very, very hard to recover from that. This happens several times. Yet the same lawyer for the hospital systems will go up against him again. Why would you possibly do that? He told me they testified in court that they had advised the patient's family to take them off life support. So it's not just the bottom of the ninth inning, game over. And yet they wouldn't allow them to try something that was regarded as one of the safest medications around when they said it was over with, but they'll have no problem using stuff in the ICU that has FDA black box warnings for blood clotting. It's called Olumiant. It's one of the few drugs they use, and remdesivir. You can't recover from that observation, Charlie. The stuff I've seen and heard in hospitals, it's sickening. There's a spiritual dynamic to this. But none of this has to happen. You look at a guy like Dr. Brian Tyson. He came on my show, said he treated 7,000 people at his urgent care clinic in El Centro, California. Anyone who came within 7 days is alive today. He sees them. He follows up with them. He puts a stethoscope on them. He does a chest x-ray. He gives a multi-drug a cocktail that's appropriate for each person, depending on the symptoms, depending on his status. We used to call that the art of medicine, and that has been abolished. There's life, liberty, and property. The number one thing is life. Let me say this. If you are not girding your loins to fight the biomedical state in areas where Republicans supposedly have control, you are not pro-life. This is a bigger pro-life issue than abortion, because if you want to equate this to abortion, it would be the equivalent of them forcing us to get an abortion. Right now, they're aborting their own babies. It would be the equivalent of them forcing us to do it. Right now, you don't have a right to life anymore. They're foisting viruses upon you, blocking the treatment, and forcing you to get dangerous therapeutics. I mean, that is the G word. I'm sorry to say it.
Well, you don't have to apologize. I just, it's a big deal. And yep. It's something that people are afraid to say. Just, I want to kind of complete the point here about how we need to make sure that justice is served and this does not happen again. Can you elaborate more on that?
Sure. Well, I think there's two things. There's a state and federal level. At a state level, Republicans control half the governments with supermajorities, which, by the way, Charlie, is why none of this should have gotten off the ground from day one in half the country. And we've had 2 years since then, and it's still not done. There's not a single state where we have the degree of bodily autonomy and freedom that we had circa February 2020. Not one. Now, there's some that are better than others, but it's shocking how slow it is. It's like when the issue was the lockdowns, they were slow to that. Now that finally it's the lack of treatment and the therapeutics they're shoving on us and obviously the vaccine problems, now they're finally getting into the mask. You know, it's like they're always a year behind, and it's extremely frustrating. But what needs to be done is this. We need a constitutional amendment in every single red state on the state's constitution. Most state constitutions, in a red state, you could easily get on the ballot where the people are going to vote on the following, that basically no government can ever force anyone to take a therapeutic, an injection, a medical device on their body, or anything without their consent. They can never be discriminated upon or lose access to areas of public accommodation as a result of that. That needs full stop. I mean, that needs a constitutional amendment, and the people need to vote on it, in November. That's the most important thing we can do. There's a bunch of, I have a whole blueprint of ideas that need to be done statutorily. The legislatures are largely in session now to protect treatment, to have a patient's bill of rights in the hospitals, to audit Pfizer and Moderna. And basically, we need to shadow the FDA in every state now, right? The FDA is now the enforcer of pharma. So they're part of it. They literally just announced a minute ago that they're approving Moderna. Oh, whoops, it's Spikevax. Yeah, interesting. Spike. Yeah, the spike protein.
And
they're approving it, even though, and they say in the thing that they say in the write-up, even though their trials were done before Omicron. So there's no trial done on the variant that's in front of us. And it's approved, and they know based on that, that's going to trigger mandates. States need to pick up the slack. They need to have their own VAERS system. In other words, make states sovereign again. That is the lesson. We cannot wait for the federal government. Obviously, if and when Republicans take over Congress, it's not going to be for another year. We need a 9/11 style commission to go over all this.
So 2 minutes remaining. All of a sudden, there's a new article out from Reuters. Did you see this article today where Japanese health officials are now saying that ivermectin works? You see this story?
Unbelievable. But then a couple minutes later, they had to adjust the headline.
That's correct. Yeah. It says it has antiviral properties. Well, isn't that the same thing? Like,
no. Yeah. And their stuff, they're all able to report on that. Look, bottom line is this. Nature Journal of Antibiotics, it's the only study of its kind. It goes through in insane details, an Italian study, 20 mechanisms of action of ivermectin across all phases, antiviral, anti-inflammatory, anticoagulant. No other drug is purported to do that. No one has a write-up on any drug doing that, including the shots. There's 70 different studies in ivermectin, but one recently was done in Brazil. 160,000 people in one city took it prophylactically. No study, including the vaccines, purported to have such a large sample size, but they don't like that study either. Every study is a problem except for their stuff, which shows negative efficacy. It's fine. look, the bottom line is we don't need a study to say that one of the safest drugs and one of the greatest discoveries ever that led to a Nobel Prize should be tried. And we see people being turned around on ventilators. Look, nothing's 100%. This is a bioweapon. It's a very complex virus, which is why the best thing is having a competent doctor to walk you through a process. But unfortunately, most people don't have access to it because medicine's broken in America. Yes. And doctors refuse to prescribe. This is going to reverberate long after COVID, and we need to get ahead of biomedical fascism right now. That is the new pro-life issue.
Couldn't agree more. Daniel Horowitz from Conservative Review Podcast, also TheBlaze.com. He has been right and courageous and clear throughout this entire saga of America that I wish never would have happened, changed our civilization, but we can get it back, and Daniel Horowitz is one of the reasons why. Daniel, thank you so much for joining us.
Looking forward to coming back. God bless.
Thank you. Thank you so much for listening, everybody. Email us your thoughts, as always, freedom@charliekirk.com. If you want to support our show, go to charliekirk.com/support and get involved with Turning Point USA, tpusa.com. Thank you so much for listening, everybody. God bless.
For more on many of these stories and news you can trust, go to charliekirk.com.